non-believers.
How did that?
To all the non-believers, especially you, Tom Jackson. We have our back, Keyshawn. Anybody can be beat.
So how did that just feel?
Feel great. Poetic justice. We know we were a much better team than we came up and represented ourselves. And we're pissed off. We was ready to come back and show what type of defense, what type of team this was, what kind of character we had. We take a lot of slack. People gave us no chance, like we barely made it in the playoffs. We're a good football team.
It looks like this team played with anger all day. Why, Bart?
For all you non-believers, disrespect us, talk crap about the defense like we ain't the third best defense in the league. All we hear is about their defense. They can't stop a nosebleed. 25th in the league, and we the one to get disrespected.
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
And that sums it up right there, folks. My God, Game 6 of the Warriors and the Thunder. I mean, to all the non-believers out there who thought OKC had this one locked up, anybody can be beat one game at a time. Welcome to Off the Bench, y'all. Q, how you doing?
Man, it's been a minute. I know everyone's very excited to get into, you know, talking about this game. The hot takes are going crazy on Twitter right now. Facebook is probably lit. Fucking every social media, Tumblr right now is going crazy. Everybody is really, really just enjoying what we witnessed earlier tonight. But we're definitely going to get into that. But just to start this off, we're only going to be covering the Western Conference Finals and the Eastern Conference Finals. We are going to announce at the end of the podcast what we're going to be doing next week, a very special episode pertaining to the draft with a very special guest who Ryan will talk about later on. And to basically segue this, speaking of special, we need to speak about and talk on how the Cavaliers beat the Raptors very quickly, because I know people do not really care about this or about this series
as much
as at all, honestly. But we need to talk about this.
Hey, Cass, prove me right. Cass and six.
You know, I really hate being right sometimes. Like, I really don't like it, you know. But, you know, I actually want to give some credit. It's been about a couple weeks. We had to take a little break from off the bench for a second. Life got crazy. And we had to take a break because some personal things. But we're back. And the last video that we did, I believe, was when I shitted on the Raptors.
Yes, sir. And we waited to talk about these finals instead of just giving another show where we do a pre-show. It felt like we should just do it after at least one of them was decided or close.
Yeah. I stand by everything I said in that rant. I really could give a single shit about a Raptors fan who's mad.
Q, what was the quote? What was the quote you came up with?
I believe I just said, turn the six upside down, it's an L now. And it is an L now. It's about four of them, actually, to be exact. Shout out Drake one time, controller.
You are a lying, manipulating hoe who waited out in the back of the damn arena.
Inside joke.
Go
but,
dap up.
views.
I wanted to say it.
Yeah, man. Like,
dap up LeBron and go talk your shit to him like it was an after party.
Man, let me just say this, that Views from the Couch featuring Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. It's sad, man. You know, but I will say this. I will say this. To sum up the series, the Raptors just aren't good enough to compete with Cavaliers. I believe the Cavaliers literally took two games off. They played them a little tough. I think it was the fourth game. That was the game.
The Cavs played better.
That was the game where I think it was really, that was the game where the Raptors just showed some pride. The third game, that was just, I think the Cavaliers took that game off. Overall, man, I stand by everything I said. You know, a lot of Raptors fans, you know, they had a conniption fit. What do you mean the Raptors don't suck? The Raptors are a good team. The Raptors are just miss. Okay. All right, dude. All right. Okay. So I told him, let me tell you what's going to happen. The Raptors are going to get destroyed. And for most of the games, they got destroyed. The first two games, destruction. The next two games, they stepped up, showed some pride. Cavaliers took those games off. Played some good defense. DeMar DeRozan had a fantastic game. But we in science, we call those things aberrations, anomalies. We call those things that separate from the trend. And we call those things that separate from the norm. So those are anomalies when DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry have great games. Hopefully the Raptors one day will learn how to play in America, because apparently they only play good in Canada. It was fun to see them try and play basketball in America, but it was pretty bad. Biombo, you're not a starting center. I wouldn't pay that man shit. Stay on the bench.
$17 million.
We're hearing that Biombo is going to get $17 million a year.
Hey, some GM will try to overpay.
That is just absolutely sad. That's the type of stuff that makes Tracy McGrady look as though he's a prophetic genius. The NBA is watered down. If you're paying Biombo, maybe he might be right. Maybe he might be right. If you're paying Biombo $17 million, he might be a little correct in his statement that the NBA might be a little watered down if people like him can get 17 M's. Nah, because that shows you. No. That shows you that the competition in the league is way down if that is the type of center that can get you $17 million a season. That shows you the products that is being put on the floor, at least for big men, are not to what they used to be. I'm not even gonna subscribe to the fact that people like Biombo and Tristan Thompson could be great in any other era but this era. I'm just not buying it.
No, we're not saying that.
Yeah, but you're telling me that Biombo is worth $17 million a season.
I don't agree with it, but I'm saying some people will pay for it because they may feel he fills a role on the team that they need for what he provides. Now, it just happens to be that the cap is going up at an exponential rate thanks to the CBA and that damn TV money, and the starter salary is now being pushed up from what it was. I don't exactly remember if it was $10 million or less, to now being a $17 million for starter money is what it's being qualified as, assuming that stays the same with all the cap calculations from cap experts like Nate Duncan and Larry Kuhn. Now, is it water? No, I don't think that. I think that's maybe a bad decision on the GM, or maybe they're just that desperate because the free agent class isn't that fantastic either.
Maybe they're that desperate because the competition maybe not as great as it could be.
How many suitors do you have?
I'm not saying the NBA isn't a great product. I'm just saying that maybe the NBA. I'm not all the way agreeing with Tracy's.
I don't think that's a fair thing to like correlate.
I think that's more than fair, because if you're going to give people like Biombo $17 million, going to give Tristan Thompson $82 million, like, are you telling me? All right, so if these guys are the cream of the crop, apparently, then what is the trash in the league getting? What are the average players getting? If these guys are getting $80 million contracts, mid-level max contracts,
it's not even a max contract now, because that gets boosted up too.
I'm not saying Tracy's right, I'm not saying he is. I'm saying that I agree to an extent on what he's saying. I believe the sentiment is correct. I don't think the overall analysis is correct, that the entire league is watered down. I think certain positions are watered down, and that is definitely the center position. Because if Biombo's getting money, Tristan Thompson's getting money, that shows you that that is the last of a dying breed for people like DeMarcus Cousins. People, shit, who else is even a great center in the NBA? DeMarcus Cousins, Gasol.
Well, but again, they
Duncan, DeAndre.
They signed their contracts prior, and the cap wasn't where it's going
to
be.
It has nothing to do with the contract. It has nothing to do with the contract. It has to do with the fact that the talent is so minuscule at that position. The $17 million because the talent is there.
Yeah.
If the talent is there, then you deserve the $17 million. The fact that the talent is so skewed and the talent is so minuscule, it breeds people who are mediocre to get $17 million. I don't see how you don't see that correlation. That's okay. You see what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying, but so you should go with me on this.
So you have DeAndre, you have DeMarcus, you have Gasol.
Are they available?
You have DeMarcus.
Are they free agents?
They are not free agents.
Okay, then.
But those are the only ones in the league who are getting recognition at the center. Oh, yeah, Whiteside and Gobert.
Right, but here's the thing. I'm not saying they're supposed to get that money. I'm not saying that. But I don't think you can say because they get this money, then they are somehow viewed as a such and such talent. Their talent is still going to speak for itself. Are they going to be overpaid? There's plenty of overpaid players. Absolutely. I think Tristan Thompson is way overpaid. But that's a situation that happened because Clutch Sports and LeBron and Rich Paul. But I don't think that's indicative of the talent or being indicating by how much they're worth. Because, hey, Avery Bradley's is it for $8 million. Jay Crowder's on $7 million. Isaiah Thomas is on a decreasing contract. So what I'm trying to say is it all depends, like, in the point in time for the context. Like, what's the cap at? Okay, what's the mid-level exception? What's this salary cap at? What's the average salary at? Okay, how are we going to get this guy to come over to convince him? Well, money talks, right? Well, if we throw more money at him, maybe he'll play for our team, so we think we'll be a better team. Does that mean it's necessarily, you know, fair to say? The money doesn't represent the talent is what I'm trying to say, I guess. And I don't think it's a completely fair to say, hey, this guy makes more money than you. Do some guys take it as personal offenses? Absolutely, and that's fine. I can understand why it's frustrating. But at the same time, when they happen in time, the shit happens. It's like this is the money at the time, and now time's passed, and now the cap's gone up. And you're probably going to make more money than them down the road as well. So I get what you're saying. I just don't agree that makes Tracy's statement that much or gives an iota of truth because of it. I don't think that's fully fair because of the money. Because it's not like...
I disagree. I really do think it has a lot to do with it. If Reggie Jackson is getting more money than John Wall, then I mean, come on, Sam. But anyway. So when it comes to, you know, the Raptors, you got Biombo. I think Jet Valanciunas was hurt for most of the series, and that could have played a big factor in what happened. But at the end of the day, LeBron James is too great, and he makes his teammates that much better. Six straight finals. Raptors fans were fuming. They were at my head when game three happened. Oh, what's up? What's up? Yeah, we got one. We got one. Okay, congratulations. I said, how confident – are you? I said to a fan who hit me up, he was like, oh, we got one. He hit me with like the whole Drake giving the LP picture. I was like, all right. Oh, okay. One. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. I was so weak off that. But anyway, I was like, all right. So remember this, that when I watch series, I don't just watch it for a game. I watch the whole thing. So how confident are you that the Raptors are going to win this series? Because then we'll really talk at the end of the series and we can really hand out pictures. He was like, I mean, I'm just taking the game by game. I'm like, yeah, so you're not confident at all. Like you shouldn't be because you're going to get your ass beat in the end. And that's exactly what happened. They got their shit tossed, but it's okay. Raptors, like I said, man, this is what Sam Hinkie was trying to avoid, and hopefully this is what he avoided. He avoided acquiring mid-level talent to compete in the inevitable sweepstakes to get your shit pushed in by LeBron James. And congratulations to the Raptors for competing. Congratulations to the Raptors for getting two games on LeBron James. That's something that the Hawks can't say. Shout out Kyle. But other than that, nobody remembers losers, man. I really have nothing else to really say about the Raptors. I don't see their future bright at all. I think DeRozan and Kyle Lowry got exposed this entire playoffs. I don't see them as stars even. I see them as guys who can get hot a couple of times. They're basically glorified Jamal Crawfords. You know, that's all that they are. They can get hot a couple of times. You can call it a hot take. I call it the absolute truth. I call it the eye test. Because what I've seen from Kyle Lowry, I've seen from DeMar DeRozan, is that from time to time, they'll have a couple good games, and they'll look like absolute shit the next game. So you're not consistent. And whenever you have a good game, that's what we like to call in science an anomaly. Raptors fans can get very mad, and they've shown it with the fuming comments on the last video. If you're expecting an apology, you can kiss my ass. Because I'm just not doing that, honestly. Because y'all deserve every word of that. Shout out to the real Raptors fans who've been there since Vince Carter was on some through the legs and arm the hoop shit. Shout out Drake one time. And understand that those who had their Tracy McGrady jerseys, those who had their, you know, Jamal Ramon jerseys, those who had their Hakeem jerseys, those who had their Muggsy jerseys, shout out to you all. Shout out to the Chris Bosh jerseys, you know. But for all the 99% of the Raptors fans who hit me up who just became fans 3 years ago, you kiss my ass. And how does LeBron taste? Because you just got shitted on again. But it's okay. I'm not going to say much more. I knew I was right. I knew y'all were going to take that L, but I didn't know it was going to come as soon. So I'll give you credit for this. You prolonged the L as long as possible. And for that, I have to give major props to that brother, Dwayne Casey. Showed some good improvement in his coaching, but he can't go much farther when you got a talent like Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan on your team. DeMar DeRozan, there's a report saying that he wants to stay in Toronto. No, you don't want to stay in Toronto. You just know that LA is not going to pay you that money because you didn't prove nothing in this series that you worth that money. You're not the next Kobe. You might not even be the next Nick Young. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
But I digress.
I have a couple of thoughts to put out. I was actually listening to Zach Lowe's podcast with Kevin Arnowitz, and you would relate to what he said about the Raptors, and I think it actually put things into perspective for me that I didn't fully consider, because Damari Carroll actually obviously was not 100%. He was around 70-75%, so he still played decent for what he did. Wasn't enough, but the thing that put it into perspective to me is when Kevin Arnowitz on the Low Post said, he said mediocre team. When he looks at the roster, it is a bit of a hodgepodge, but that they really overachieved, and they should be proud of how far they were able to get, because you were the second best team in the East. You had 56 wins, I think. Mm-hmm. And but on paper, when you look at the pieces you have, there's a lot of, I don't want to say if it's redundancy in some areas, but there's definitely some issues when you look at the roster and conduciveness, because as you know, the offense would sometimes stagnate really hard, and it would turn into the quote-unquote prevent offense, where people would Lowry or DeRozan would be hanging on the ball outside the perimeter, dribbling the ball out, the air out of the ball, until like 6 seconds on the shot clock, and they would freak out.
You never freak out.
You don't freak out. Don't freak out. Shout out Jimmy Dore one time. Basically, it put that into perspective for me. I said they should be proud of that, because it is going to be an interesting offseason for them, whether or not they sign DeRozan. Word out today is it seems like he wants to stay, and staying with one team is a quote-unquote words he used. We'll see. There's a friend of his that's claiming he's going to L.A. We'll find out. They have an interesting offseason. They have an interesting offseason because they have youth that is waiting in the corner, waiting to come out and play. Norman Powell get more extended time. Yeah. He would get more time if DeRozan's gone.
Yeah.
Carroll would be able to be a better piece, hopefully, next season, being fully healthy for once in a healthy offseason. Kyle's going to be 31, so that may be. And you got Joseph. But your issue
real quick,
be,
about Joseph.
Valanciunas can get better.
About Joseph?
What about Corey?
Corey Joseph is a starting point guard in the NBA.
He's capable.
I think he's a starting point guard in the NBA easily. I'm surprised that Milwaukee didn't go after him. I'm really surprised about that. I think he could run that team very nicely. I like his jumper. He's shown late game ability to make shots. He's shown
shoot threes.
Yeah, he can shoot a little bit, but his mid range game is crazy. He's taking it to the hole too.
Because I think he's a better slasher than
He is. He is a better slasher, but he's capable of shooting the mid range. I've seen him do it in Miami, and he's had good defenders on him doing it, so I know that it's not fraudulent.
He's got some post moves.
Yeah, and he can take it to the rack. He can also lock up on defense, as I've seen him do that to Kyrie. I'm very impressed by Corey Joseph. That's the one spot on this team that I'm in love with. I love Corey Joseph's game. I think, man, if I really wanted the Sixers to get him, and that was because he was a Spur, he was familiar with Brad Brown, and he's good on defense, he's solid on offense, and if since we seem to be paying solid guys, if Corey Joseph isn't a starting point guard, then how is Reggie Jackson the starting point guard? And I'm not saying that Reggie isn't. I'm saying that if Reggie is, then how come Corey isn't? To me, they're about the same on the same skill level. Reggie might be a little bit better, but Corey is, the more he works, he is a bright future in the NBA. And I love his game. And what's up?
I was going to check his age.
Isn't he like 23 or some shit? 24?
Come on, internet.
25?
24,
yeah. The young. I mean, he's very young. After Lowry's 30, and Raptors fans who are going to be very, very, they're going to be fuming. They're going to be in shambles. Listen to this. They're going to be in shambles. So let me tell you right now, Kyle Lowry's 30 years old. He's not going to get any better. When you reach a plateau, and in the NBA. In the NBA, you reach a plateau where your skill level just tapers off and it just stays the same. And that age is usually around 30, 31. Kyle Lowry's not going to get any better. He's going to be the same player that we know. And the player that he is, he's an average player who can have some difficult shots. He can hit some difficult shots, I mean. And he's shown the capability in late games sometimes to do what he needs to do. And that's just how he is. Our game. Apparently, he was pretty good in the regular season, but when it comes to postseason, man, him and DeMar are just fraudulent. You know what? They're just fraudulent. Out to Cleveland, they're going to the finals, second straight year. Key players on that team, just so we can run through those. Obviously, King. Obviously, Kyrie. Obviously, Love, who came into his own. Love, the keys for Love. Love is going to have to start his game in the post and then work his way out. I think he discovered that in this series. I want to get your opinion on that. I think Love should start his game in the post and work his way out. You know, have like sort of an in and out game. JR has been very underrated with his defense this year. I can't believe I'm actually saying that. J.R. Smith has been underrated with his defense.
He's been trying.
Been underrated. I'm not saying that underrated means that, you know, he's put the league on notice. No, I'm saying that he's underrated in the sense of he's been much better than what he was in years past. He's actually trying. He's actually getting his hands in passing lanes. He's actually getting strips. He's actually getting steals. And I appreciate
on ball,
that.
He's better.
Yeah. Much better.
On ball, he's
much
still
better.
Lost.
Much better. Iman Shumpert, man, he's going to have to step up in key moments.
Yeah.
Because
he's
on the bench, like, he makes so many boneheaded plays. And that's the one area that if you're a Golden State or an OKC that you can attack easily is Iman Shumpert. His defense is sound, but his defense gets overshadowed by the fact that he'll do something stupid, man. Like, he'll make a good play, he'll get the steal, and then give the ball right back with a dumb turnover. Like, he's that player. But another key play that I saw was Channing Frye was able to move Biombo out of the paint so that the Cavaliers, Tyronn Lue, he called high pick and roll with Dele and LeBron. And I noticed that it was killing the Raptors. They had no answer for that. I think it was game four or something. They started with Dele, and LeBron would just roll to the basket, and Channing would step out and hit threes.
Pick and pop. Yeah,
it was pick and roll all day.
Yeah, it'd be a 1-4 pick and roll to LeBron, and then LeBron would drive it in. They collapse in, and then he pop out to Frey on the corner three.
Yeah, and you know the thing is, I don't like the Cavaliers. I don't like them at all. I despise what they are, but I love seeing good basketball, and the Cavaliers are playing great basketball right now. LeBron James is hands down top. He's going to be a top three player in the world. Probably for the next 4 years, 4 or 5 years. He is fantastic. The leadership that LeBron James shows is so underrated. It's him and Chris Paul, and it's everyone else, and they're far behind those two in terms of leaders in the NBA. The fact that we call Chris Paul the greatest leader in the NBA, but LeBron's been there 6 years in a row now, I think we have to start changing that. We definitely should take a look at that.
But the passive aggressiveness though. Chris Paul doesn't do that.
He don't need to. But the thing is though, everyone has their ways of getting people to do what they need to do. Some people be sitting them down and having the nice talk with them, saying, "Hey, DeAndre, hey, man, let's go." It might be LeBron tweeting out or unfollowing the Cavaliers account. Everybody's like, "Oh shit, he might leave. Let's get on our P's and Q's." That just might be his way of doing it. I think people overblew that. I have no quarrel with LeBron James as a player. I don't like his decision to leave Miami. That's what I hated, and I don't respect it still. But I love LeBron James' game.
Sure. I disagree slightly about his leadership, because I feel if you are a leader or an effective leader, one that's going to be fully ingrained with that team, like Chris Paul. The thing about the passive aggression, like when he makes his comments about the end of the game, and they'll be like, you know, kind of like Drake lyrics almost, when he doesn't drop a name, but you know who he's talking about. That happened earlier, more so, especially last season too, you know, about Kevin Love or all these different things, and it just, but now that they're winning, it all goes away. Winning solves everything. But I that's just my qualm with that. Is he a leader? Yeah, I'm not going to say he's not, but I don't think he's as great as Chris Paul or some other guys like a
we can obviously have a discussion about this, but all I'm saying is that it is a discussion between who is, because Chris Paul's not taking his teams to the finals the last 6 years. He hasn't even made it to the Western Conference.
That's a whole other.
It is. But if we are going to talk about leaders, then we have to talk about results also. And I think LeBron has shown that. But other than that, with this Toronto series, it just solidifies LeBron James' legacy as being one of the greatest leaders, in my opinion, in NBA history, period. He just knows how to get a team to the NBA Finals. Man, he knows how to take scrubs. He knows how to make them better. He is like the scrub factory, man. You send them into LeBron factory, they come out capable or average players. You know, J.R. Smith, Iman Shumpert, they wash the nick right off you. You turn into a LeBron player. I don't know, man. He's like a DMV for bad players.
There's certain plays that go in. I remember there was one play, I think it was game 6, wherein there was a quick pass from Dele to LeBron, and then he made a pass like right after that. If it's anybody else, that play wouldn't have happened for that bucket. And I said that the only reason that one worked is because LeBron was on that team.
LeBron.
So certain things are able to happen because of him being on the court. Anyway.
Much love to him. But let's get on to the next series. Next series, what's the main event? Let's get ready to rumble, as they say. The next series is the one and only Golden State and Oklahoma City. If I can eulogize the Thunder, I mean, talk about the Thunder for a second. Let's just discuss how this series started off. Okay, let's just go game by game. All right, game one, you have a shocking turn of events. The Warriors, they were up, I believe, by 19 or something, and they were moving pretty good. They were cruising a little bit. They got into a little cruise control, and Russell Westbrook goes insane in the third quarter. They make it a game. fourth quarter, they close out a couple questionable calls, but Oklahoma City takes over, and they win the game in the last couple minutes. They win by, was it 7 or 6? Or
it was, I think it was a 108-102.
Insane. I think it was like 6 points. Okay, so Golden State shocked at home. They let their foot off the gas, and that game looms large. Because imagine if they didn't do that at all. Imagine if they actually, you know, stayed, you know, leveled and they stayed in state centered. But they didn't, and they let the game go. And Oklahoma City is up 1-0. Golden State responds. They come back with a good game. They blow them out. I think it was like a little 20-pointer.
118-91.
Yeah, it was a great response by Oklahoma City. I'm sorry, by Golden State, and they washed them out the stadium. Then we go to game three, and it is the blowout of blowouts. Oklahoma City got in that ass, as they say, and they destroyed
103-105, but it was much worse.
But it was so bad. They were up like, I think it was at 30 at one point. It was
almost 40.
It was a 30 piece almost. It was basically what the Spurs did to the Thunder. They did it to the Warriors, and that had everyone on notice that holy shit, they might actually win this series. Okay, but the Golden State fans, they were. Come on, man. It's just a blowout. It's a fluke. It's never going to happen again. Oh, what happened again? The game four, it happened again.
OKC, we had like 72 points at halftime.
It happened again. Oklahoma City, game four, they blew them out again. And it was a sight to see. Everyone was like, oh, series is over. Series is done. I was one of those people saying it's probably over. But I think Golden State will win the next game. And game five, they went out and they won the next game. It was a hard-fought battle. They didn't look great. You know, the calls were terrible.
It was much better than the last.
It was so much better, but it was still.
3 and 4 was the worst performances that Golden State has given, I think, this season.
Game five was mediocre, but both teams looked discombobulated. Both teams were fighting hard. The calls were bad, and it was just a weird game. But Golden State found a way to win it with a couple clutch threes down the end of the game. Spates played some great minutes.
Oh yeah, his offense was key.
Yeah, so
that bench was key that game.
So we gotta just discuss, man. Like we gotta just talk.
Game 6.
We gotta talk about Curry, Thompson, Game 6.
Iguodala.
Game 6. What happened tonight? To summarize it just very quickly is Klay Thompson had an out-of-body experience. Klay Thompson channeled the Holy Ghost. Klay Thompson said, when there's a will, there's a Klay. And
I'm going to put some respect on my name as a top-5 shooting guard in this league.
He said, just let me digress for one second and let me talk my talk. And
oh, I'm at the logo? I'm going to throw it.
Yeah, he went out there. And he just put on a show. He kept Oklahoma. He kept Golden State in the game. And then Klay carried, Steph finished. That's what happened. And they did it in spite of a lot of bad performances from Bogut, a couple missteps from Barnes, some bad plays from Spates. Just Spates headlocked the dude at one point. It was just, it looked like all signs pointed to death for Golden State. And Oklahoma City was up for most of the game. And for most of the game, it felt as though Golden State took a step, and then they took 3 steps back.
Third quarter.
And then Oklahoma City just kept, but Oklahoma City kept asserting their will. And it's just like it looked like they were not going to let up at all. And they did because what transpired in that fourth quarter was crazy. So let's talk about that. First of all, what stands out to you about this game? Just, you know, first thoughts. By the way, we're recording this the very, like, right after.
We're still in stupor.
Yeah, like, we're still in awe.
The things, I don't want to forget some things. That's how much I want to make sure I cover this game well. The one thing I want to mention up is the two players, or at least two players, that if they don't play with these performances tonight, the Golden State does not win, and that is Klay Thompson and Iguodala. The defense was right back to where we expect Golden State to play. Iguodala, Draymond Green, Klay, and Steph too, actually, all showed their best anticipation that I've seen, that when they are clicking on all cylinders on defense with the steals. I mean, even Draymond had some clean swipes that he got called a foul on it sometimes. Those were some, you know, bad calls, obviously. But, I mean, Iguodala went full-on finals MVP when he went against LeBron. Like, KD could not comfortably get a shot, and he made his efficiency terrible. Let me get the box score. I'm pretty sure KD shot, I mean, by the end of halftime, it was 6 of 19 for KD. There was a great steal he had. They pressured the shot clock down so many times. Let me just get this. I want to make sure I do this justice, because it was just such a, my heart was pounding this game. Let me see. Klay Thompson, all right, this is his line. 41 points. He shot 14 of 30. 11 of 18 from three. He made a record tonight, folks, for threes in a playoff game. I can't remember exactly what it is, but there was a record broken by him. He had one block shot, too. Four rebounds, plus 16, in under 40 minutes. And he was the most important offensive player tonight. Curry was able to sustain that as well. Iguodala was... The stats don't necessarily show it all tonight, but he had three steals, 8 points, seven rebounds, 3 for 6. But he gave it all on Durant tonight. Durant was 10 for 31, so that's a very bad efficiency for Durant. Westbrook was 10 for 27. Turnovers, Westbrook had 5, Roberson had 3, Adams had 2, Durant had 3. There was a lot of turnovers in the game. That was key for Golden State's defense. That was such a big deal because so many buckets in transition. And then Golden State wasn't freaking out. They weren't trying to get those quick shots that they were doing earlier in the series. Like, they were working on focus on making the play, running the set. And then if it didn't happen, Draymond would fight for those rebounds, or Iguodala, whoever was down below, boxing out Ibaka or whatever, whether or not they get a loose ball foul call. The defense in the transition was so key as well for them. But Klay Thompson, my God, when you make me fall down in my living room and my glasses fall off my face when you shoot a three, God damn, it's your night.
Man, I echo all the sentiments. When it comes to just this game alone, I think it's in my top 10 playoff games that I've seen in my life. People don't understand the way that they were battling for rebounds was just incredible. It was almost poetry in motion to see them fight. It was like watching those, you know, those Greek paintings of people battling. And, like, you know, like Hercules fighting the centaur and all that stuff. Like, it looked like that type of action. It looked like a Michael Bay film up under the rim, man. It looked like Megatron versus Optimus Prime. And it was crazy.
Draymond flat out called Steven Adams a bitch.
I mean, you have every right to call somebody a bitch when they dunk on you. He made you his bitch, Draymond. I mean, damn.
Or the loose ball foul that Adams did to him too.
I mean, he made you his bitch, Draymond. I mean, you can't say nothing to him, but you can get mad all you want. But shit, man, I'll call you a bitch too if you dunked on me. But hey, you can do whatever you want since you got a W, but don't matter. When it comes to just this series, man, I think it just shows the resilience of champions. I counted it, Golden State out. I thought it was over 10 minutes into the game. I'm like, oh, this is over. This is done. They just look bad. They just look terrible. But Klay Thompson carried Steph, finished, and this was in spite of just bad play from Bogut. This was in spite of bad play from Space. This was in spite of some key turnovers by Harrison Barnes. But I think Harrison Barnes got his hands on Kevin Durant's pass in the last minute of the game. When they're up after, I think it was Klay's shot to make them go up by 3 or 4. And
Steph Curry. Oh, I forgot to mention.
Yeah, do you remember if it was Harrison Barnes who got his hands on that ball that KD was trying to pass up court? I think it was Harrison Barnes.
Maybe he deflected it.
I think he deflected. I think he had something.
Maybe. I'm trying to remember. That yeah, because someone got their hands on it. It was either him or Iguodala. I can't remember.
And it was just a fantastic.
Every possession was a battle.
It was a fantastic game. But let's go in a little deeper here. Let's just go in a little deeper here. I gotta speak on this.
Right before you do, Steph Curry went full on Larry Bird, and if what I'm talking about actually was the anniversary of when Larry Bird stole the inbound pass to win the game against the Pistons, he did that twice to OKC tonight. And that was just to, like, rub it in their face, though, because they were already ahead, but it was just to clinch it so they couldn't get any shot. No chance. The last two inbounds by OKC, Curry stole it, and then at the end of the game went right in the corner and held it.
Let's just, you know, I got to speak on KD for a second. Okay. I'm disappointed in KD. I can't lie to you, say I'm not disappointed in KD. Russ, you balled your ass off like he always does, gives 110%. KD, you know, I'm disappointed in your performance for the most part. It was a lukewarm to type of performance. And I'm disappointed. I truly am. I echo a lot of the sentiments of Barkley in terms of him forcing shots, him just shooting as soon as the ball comes to him. And I believe OKC in those two home games when they blew him out, they found that if they share the ball, then they have success. And I'm disappointed in KD for just the fact that if he loses after being up 3-1, I'll tell you right now, me. But, you know, this doesn't really have to do, you know, who am I? I ain't shit. If I was KD and I lost after being 3-1, I'm taking my talents east.
I was about to ask you.
I'm thinking maybe I can stop LeBron from getting to the finals if I go to a Washington, if I go to Boston, if I go to, you know, fucking Drake wants to bring KD into the Raptors, you know, but, you know, whatever it is. And, I mean, dude, if you lose after being 3-1 and the Warriors look, the Warriors look okay, the Warriors look lukewarm most of these games, and you can't beat them, and you blew them out twice and you can't seal the deal at home, KD, bro, nah, bro, Lil B, man, just know. Base God is watching, man. Just know, he's not playing, bro. Just apologize to him. That's like, it's gonna get to the point where Cameron Payne's annoying ass is gonna come up to KD and be like, "Yo, bro, just send him a text, like, please, just play him in a game of 1-on-1, and we might be able to win the finals." Because even if KD wins, the Lil B curse is in effect, in that he will never win a ring. So, bro. And obviously I joke, but come on, fam. You have to win this game, KD. You have to go off on Monday. KD, you have to put on a D-Wade 06, a LeBron in Detroit. You know what I'm saying? You have to do that on Monday. Anything short of that is not going to get it done. It's not, because Steph Curry feels good. Klay Thompson's confidence is up. It's all the way up. No fat jail pun. For real. So it's like, I'm looking at this series and I feel like OKC should have blown the Warriors out probably four times. But somehow, in some way, OKC has found a way. And I don't know where it's at, but OKC has found a way to lose three games here. Okay. And I don't know where it's at, because this game feels like it should have been OKC by 30. That's what it felt like the first 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, no, this is 30. This is going to be a 30 spot right here. And instead, Golden State responded. Well, not Golden State, because a lot of the teammates of Klay Thompson didn't show up. But Steph, Iguodala, and Klay, the Holy Trinity showed up. They showed up again. They showed up again in key moments, and they showed up when they needed to. And... dude, like, my guy, I need to talk to you about this Iguodala defense on KD. My man, Iguodala. I've seen that many a time in Philadelphia. I've seen that a lot of times. I seen him do it all the time. I knew he had greatness in him. We just couldn't bring it out of him. And sometimes when you love something, you got to let it go. And I'm proud that he found his way to Golden State, because I knew Iguodala was special when he was in a Sixers jersey. And my man, came through the last couple minutes, shut it down on KD, got him bothered, got him out of his game, got in his head, got his hands up, took his vision away from him. Steph took over, got some steals from KD twice. He got a steal in the inbounds, and he got a steal from KD. Fantastic. Absolutely a fan. It was a recipe for disaster the first few minutes. Steve Kerr saw the score at halftime. He said, you know, this isn't that bad. We're only down this much. This is not awful. We can recover. Smiling. And yeah, they were smiling. They were laughing because that's what you got to do as champions, man. You have to be able to know that, hey, we got this, man. We beat LeBron last year. We can beat KD. We were in the finals last year. This ain't nothing to us. We the champions. We 73-9. We going to do this. And they're defying all of my, you know, expectations. Because I didn't think they were going to get to the finals. And they did. And it's absolutely amazing to see. But KD, man, you're going to have to show up, because Russ is showing up. Russ is showing up. Adams is showing up. If you want to talk to me about a starting center in this league, that's Steven Adams. Don't talk to me about Steven Adams. Don't talk to me about no Biombo. Don't talk to me about no Tristan Thompson. Talk to me about Steven Adams. Talk to me about a man who can go and get you rebounds. Talk to me about a man who can get you some post moves. Talk to me about a man who's going to compete on defense. Talk to me about a man who can get kicked in the nuts and play the next 2 seconds. Talk to me about a man who knows what it's like to be in a battle with the champions and not back down. Talk to me about a man who knows what it's like to dunk on the man who kicked you in the nuts, and you still got him calling you a bitch, but you still dunk on him. Talk to me about that, man. Don't talk to me about no Bismack Biyombo. Don't talk to me about no Tristan Thompson. Don't even bring up Festus Ezeli when you're talking about who should get paid, because that man Steve Adams is going to get paid. He's 23, 24 years old in this league.
22, 23.
That man, that's a grown-ass man. That's a grown-ass man, and he shows no fear, and that's what I like about him. And also, he can hit a fucking free throw. God, like, that's, like, sad that we have to even use that as a qualifier now for big men, but we do, and I've seen it.
It's been a thing.
And it's crazy, because Adams is taking it to Draymond, but Draymond, to his credit, he's not backing down. I think Draymond has played pretty bad in this series. He's made some passes here and there that are good. You know, he's made some defensive stops here and there that are solid. But in terms of Draymond-ness, nah, he's been ick this whole series. I mean, he's every time I see him taking shots, I'm like, no, stop. You are killing the offense to me. He's killing the offense. Whenever he makes a good play, he's liable to take it right back. By firing up a corner three when he has a wide open man. Draymond, just sit down, man. I don't want to see Draymond take more than 5 shots on Monday. If the first 3 ain't falling, fam, unless you are wide open, I don't want to see you taking nothing. Unless you had a layup, I don't want to see you taking nothing. Give it to that man, Clay. Give it to that man, Steph. Give it to that man, Iguodala. And give it to Harrison Barnes, because Harrison actually plays good at home. And Harrison is not no damn max player, but hopefully he can play himself into some cash, because he's
been... He did, because he's been playing decent, pretty well this year.
He's been great at home.
He was a plus 12 tonight. Defense was key for him.
It was. Definitely was. Like, it's absolutely insane what's like I'm my mind is blown just thinking about. But I don't really have much to say on this, Ryan. You have anything else to say? Because
I want it to be known that Klay Thompson deserves more respect because, like Iguodala, he at times is kind of like looked over on the team, even though it is the Splash Brothers. Like, even when, unless Klay has like a 37-point quarter or something like that, he doesn't usually get talked about for having good games, but he's been having a great postseason. He's been a big reason as to why they've been even competitive in some games. I really feel he deserves so much credit, because if he doesn't have the performance tonight, offensively, they're not even in this. They're not even in this. When you hit 11 threes, God. And the defense, he played some fantastic defense on Westbrook, too. Like,
this series is the culmination of unstoppable force and immovable object. That's what it is. And I'm so blessed to just see this. So blessed to be able to talk about this. And it's amazing to me to witness Kevin Durant's greatness for most of this series. Even though tonight I'm disappointed in what he delivered, for most of this series, he has been competing. He's had the look in his eye. He's had the eye of a champion. And I can see it that he wants it. Who do I want to win? I want basketball fans to win on Monday. I want basketball fans to win. I don't care who takes it. I just want it to be a great game. I hope it goes just like tonight, not in terms of like an outcome, but I hope it goes right down to the wire and somebody makes a great play, because I want to see who wants it the most. I want to see a heavyweight fight where they go blow for blow and somebody just throws the haymaker at the right time and someone, you know, cocks back, bow, got him, last second. I want to see that. Steve Kerr's made great adjustments. I disagree with Brother Ken. I don't think Billy Donovan is Scott Brooks. I can understand the sentiment. I can understand, because when you're looking at the game, all you're thinking about is the W, and you're not thinking about, you know, the in-depth
process over the results.
You know, yeah, you're not thinking about the process, and you're not thinking about, you know, the in-depth analysis that has to take place as a coach, and you're not thinking about the rotations and the positions that you're put in. So a lot of people are saying this on Twitter. It's not just Ken, but a lot of people are like, well, what the hell did you fire Scott Brooks for? A lot of people, you know, were killed for this job, and the same result happened with Brooks as it is happening with Donovan. They're about to lose on Monday. That's what a lot of people are saying. But let's see if Donovan can get his team to an NBA Finals. And this isn't his rookie year, man. Like, let's be, you know, fair here. This is Donovan's rookie season. Although I maintain that a rock with a paper face on it could coach the Thunder and get them to a Western Conference Finals due to the talent that they have in these two superstars. It's pretty impressive to see that he's mastered the lineups. He's mastered his rotations. I don't think that he could put Morrow in some spurts off when their bench is on.
He did tonight.
Yeah, that was tonight. Not the time to do it. That was not the time to do it. Those were critical moments.
And that's when he got blown by on defense.
And that was not the time to do it. He should have did it when Golden State was reeling. He should have put him in when the bench was in. And just put a shooter in, man. Just put a shooter in, because Golden State's bench's defense tonight, It was okay, but Golden State was getting taken advantage of by the fact that Spates made dumb decisions. But other than that, I still think he could find ways to put in Morrow and Foy. I don't think he should ever play Morrow and Cantor together. That's a recipe for disaster. And he took him out there fast because he realized what he did. But he needs to play Morrow not on Monday at all, honestly. Not at all. But maybe if they get to a finals, we'll talk about that. But
Randy Foy play more?
According to Charles Barkley, the X Factor is Randy Foy, and I think Randy Foy plays 6 minutes on Monday. I think he plays 6 minutes on Monday.
He only played 7 tonight. Jesus.
Yeah, I think he'll play 6 or 7 minutes on Monday night. KD has to show up. Keys for Monday night. Keys for Monday night. Let's just end on this and we'll make our announcement.
Key alert.
Keys for Monday night. My keys from Monday night. For Golden State, keys. Get Klay Thompson open shots. Obviously, that's the easy thing to say rather than is to do. But they did it tonight in a hostile environment. They have the crowd on their side. They're going to be able to get some open shots. Klay, stay calm. Steph, continue to do what you did tonight. Honor the contact by going in and drawing those fouls. They will reward you at home. I promise you they will reward you at home. Steph knows this. He knows how to work the refs. He knows that they're going to give him his superstar calls. Iguodala, key for him to disrupt Durant. He's not going to get this performance out of Durant again. He's not going to hold him like this, but he's going to have to bother him in the closing minutes of this game. Golden State, they have to stay composed. If OKC comes out with a burst of energy on Monday, they might. They're liable to do it. They're liable to come out with basically a spirit bomb blast to give him, you know, a quick shock to the brain. Barnes is going to have to step up on D. Barnes is going to have to hit his shots. He's hit that corner shot. They need to design more of those for Harris and Barnes, to be honest. They need to design more of those plays.
They do.
They definitely do, because I've seen a lot of, I've seen...
He hits the corner three well.
Yeah, he hits it easily, and it's just really it's really good. It's really great for them because it spreads the floor, gives them spacing. Bogut has to calm down. You have to catch the ball. He has the worst hands I've seen in a center in the NBA. He has the worst hands, man. He does this all the time. And that's why he can't shoot free throws, because his hands aren't right. Dude, he needs to just, one summer, he needs to just train with like a wide receiver. That's all he needs to do. He needs to like call up Antonio Brown from the Pittsburgh Steelers or Odell Beckham or one of the 49ers.
Simmons.
Yeah, just call up one of the
Australian.
Call up one of the 49ers and just have them throw you the ball. Have them throw you a football and you'll be catching basketballs easily. Come on now. So
he's still a great passer.
He's still a great passer, but that's when you can get him the ball cleanly. If he has any type of contact or any type of resistance, he will fumble the ball. He will, oh, I don't know what to do with it. What is this? You know, like he goes crazy, man. It's just sad, but he needs to stay composed. Azealy, he's not going to get much burn, but when he does, he's usually a good defensive force.
He needs to stunt that pick and roll.
He needs to stay composed on the pick and roll. That's the one thing about him. And my keys for Gold.
He does defend it well.
Yeah, he does. But my keys for OKC, and this is, I'm going to let you talk about it next. My keys for OKC, Russ, keep being you. Russ is playing great. Keys for Kevin. KD, man, this is it. This is it. This is it. This is it. If you can't get it here, then I don't know when you're ever going to get it. This is the time to do it. This is the time. The Cavaliers don't look invincible. The Cavaliers don't look, unbeatable. You could go in and you could make that a series. You're not going to get blown off the court. This is part two. This is your Rocky two. And you Rocky. And the Cavaliers are Creed. They beat you the first time, but you won the hearts of young basketball fans everywhere else by showing how good you could be. And you showed your potential. And in 2011, the Miami Heat, they lost.
That first ring.
They lost. And they came back in 2012 and said, you know what? Let's mature and let's get our composure back and let's just run through these guys by playing good, solid basketball. That's how you're going to have to approach that. You're going to have to approach that series like you were, like LBJ did with the Mavericks. You got, embarrassed, but it's okay. It was a maturing experience. It was a maturation experience, and you're going to have to come back and show people that you are a top two player in the league, man. Like, you are... Ken is right in this aspect. People are starting to overlook KD. People are starting to take his game for granted. I see people with lists like number one will be Curry, two will be Westbrook, three will be Kawhi, and then it'll be KD. KD at the fourth best player in the world. KD should be the second best player in the world for the next 7 years of his career. And people are already putting people like LeBron, Kawhi, Russell, Chris Paul ahead of him even. I've seen lists with that. And KD has to take that personally, man. He has to show, you know what, I'm the shit. I'm the shit. I'm fucking Kevin Durant. I can go in here and drop 50 if I want to. So KD, go ahead and do that. Drop 50, man. I want to see you take it. I want to see you take that torch. I want to see you go to the finals, and I want to see you put on a good performance. I want to see you go off on Monday. And I want to see Steph go off on Monday, too, because I want to see a great game. But more keys, two more keys. Deion Waiters has to hit at least three threes on Monday, or it's done. Deion, I know he's going to get his shots. He's going to have to hit at least three threes. He's going to have to. Last key, Roberson has to step up on defense. He has been for most of this series, but he has to have his best defensive game, obviously. Obviously, I'm talking like Magic Johnson, but this is just the obvious, man. He has to have his best defensive game on Monday. He has to stay locked in. He's gotten in foul trouble because he's gotten a little too handsy. He's gotten a little too antsy. He's gotten a little too excited. But if he stays level, he stays composed, and he just slides his feet instead of sliding, you know, like some players, defensive players either slide their feet or they anticipate with their arms. And you can do both. But when you're beat by the speed of Steph Curry or you're beat by the speed of Klay Thompson, a lot of people will swipe at them and they'll get in foul trouble. And they'll go up, but they won't keep their hands up. Don't anticipate with your hands, man. Anticipate with your eyes, anticipate with your feet, and use your hands when you need them. Don't just go all out when, you know, you get beat, because then you're going to get a foul. And that's just obvious talking. But other than that, man, those are my keys for, you know, OKC. If OKC does that, they will win. If Golden State does that, they will win. If they both do that, it's overtime. And all bets are off.
The key point for Golden State, if they're going to win, I'm not even going to front. I want to see Golden State win. I'm going to put that out there right now. I know. I want the history. I want to see the history. I'm sorry. The big keys for me is you got to control the points in the paint that OKC is trying to get. At halftime, there was a stat that was thrown out that I caught. They had 30 points in the paint at halftime, as opposed to 30 points in the paint for the entire game of Game 5. So they need to control that. They need to continue to contest these rebounds, because honestly, that has been the big reason why the Thunder have been able to blow out the Warriors, because they control the boards, because they are historically a great rebounding team of the likes with the 60 Russell Celtics. They have, you know, with Adams, Cantor, Ibaka, Roberson too at times, even Westbrook, even though his rebounds aren't always defensive. It's you gotta be able to keep contesting within the 6 feet of the rim. The last thing is keep running your sets. Avoid your quick buckets unless the transition points are those assists, those outlet passes where you're throwing across the court like you did tonight for those layups. Don't always have to hit for the three. I like that. That looked more of the balance that you had in that led to your 73 wins. It wasn't always going for the home run three-pointer. It was getting the better quality shot. They keep that up, I think they have a great chance to win. OKC, your turnovers are the death of you, period.
Yeah.
KD, Westbrook, Robertson, Ibaka, Cantor too. He had a bad one. Those turnovers happen, and you get into your bad habits. KD shooting so many times out of efficiency. It's either KD or Westbrook will shoot this team out with their ridiculous number of shots.
Yeah.
That happens. They are not gonna have a good chance at all. They have to stay away from their bad habits, because again, that will come back to everyone will come back and be reaffirmed with what they thought this team was before this series or before the Spurs series, that this team will have Westbrook or KD shoot this team out of a win. They'll blow their lead in the fourth quarter, their defense will take possessions off or take some bad shots, iso ball too much. They'll run into their bad habits.
And, so what's your prediction score?
I think Golden State is going to win it.
Give me a score.
What was tonight? Tonight was 108 to 101. I think it's going to be... Let me see the other ones. I think it's going to be a 9-point game, at least. Or as closest, I should say. I think it's going to be, like, within that. I don't think it's going to be, like, a 2-point game or a 3-point game. I think it's going to be a 9-point winner. I think Golden State's going to be able to pull it out, like, at the end. With the Thunder keep trying to battle it. But is it going to be close? Yes, it's going to be close like this when your heart's going to be pounding and you're going to be looking at this game back and forth like, oh, crap, each bucket possession feels like, you know, the
score though.
Chains, even though it's not.
You know, 109 to 100?
Let's go with that, plus or minus, you know, some points. Give a range. I think it's a 9-point win. At least.
9-point win. Okay. Well, that's locked in. And that's the end of that coverage for the game.
I mean, you can hold me to it. I can easily be wrong.
So. Okay. It's all right. It's okay. I just want basketball fans to win on Monday. I have no preference because I'm not a huge fan of either or three of these teams. I'm just here for the crying Jordan memes, to be honest. Other than that, that's going to be it. But I think we have an announcement.
Yes.
If you want to talk about that, Ryan, you want to tell them about the next week's podcast, what's going to be happening, and who's going to be joining us.
Right. Part of the reason why we took a little bit of the hiatus between episodes was we were discussing with Dakota Schmidt, who is a writer for SB Nation, specifically Ridiculous Upside. That is the blog for the D-League, focusing on players in the D-League, draft prospects, international players, or any players out of the league. So it's basically kind of the lesser-known players or future. He has been doing a number of compilations for the upcoming draft prospects, and he is someone we confer with when talking about what we think of certain prospects, where we evaluate them, what teams do we think should take them, or where would they fit. So we were kind of like planning all that out to have an episode focusing on the NBA draft and what had recently passed this past, was it a week or two ago now? Since the lottery?
It was last week.
Yeah. We were going to talk about the lottery selection that just occurred since it, you know, went straight tankathon, straight chalk. We were going to talk about what we think, what teams might do, if there's what teams we may think of trades, what players we think might be a best fit since the mock drafts are constantly changing since the newest Draft Express just shifted some major things around. But we plan on having that be the focus for the entire episode. And so it'll be a three-way discussion instead of the typical two. It'll be three off the bench. So,
yep.
If you can follow him on Twitter at, I believe it is Mr. Dakota _Schmidt, I believe.
We'll put the name in the description.
Yes, I'll put that in.
Yes, indeed.
But that'll be the big focus. So there'll be a whole episode dedicated to the draft.
Process worked.
Prospects. What was that?
Process worked, but I digress on that.
It's getting there. But that's going to be it. This episode flew by. That's going to be it, folks. I want to make sure if you are listening to this, if this is on YouTube, make sure you like the video. If you want to leave a comment, make sure to follow all the socials. Make sure you subscribe to Dead End Sports, youtube.com/Dead End Sports. Make sure to follow their Twitter at Dead End Sports. You can follow Off the Bench at OFFTHABENCH. Follow Q, the sixth man of Dead End Sports, at Q. Got No Rings, and you can follow me at RLS003. Make sure every Tuesday, 9 p.m. for Dead End Sports. I want to make sure I get that out there. And follow all the guys, the individual hosts. Ken, K-B-I-N-G-E, 12 Kyle, BZ430, FIFO247. I think I got everything.
No. We have one more thing, actually.
Oh.
We got one more thing. First and foremost, and I guess, well, not first and foremost, actually, lastly, gotta say rest in peace to the brother who got, I believe he was shot today. NBA player. I'm trying to find his name. Yeah.
Bryce,
do you remember
Bryce
his name?
Bryce Jones of the New Orleans Pelicans. Bryce Jones of the New Orleans Pelicans.
I believe you pronounced it Bryce Dijon Jones or something. Is he a New Orleans a native or something? But either way, rest in peace to Bryce Dijon Jones, New Orleans Pelican. I think he went to Iowa State. The brother died today after a gunshot wound. Prayers to his family. Thoughts and best wishes and condolences go to all those affected by the tragedy today. We got to do better. And with that,
rest in power.
Off the bench.
Yes, sir. Congratulations, y'all. Just been played off the bench.